Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I appreciate you greatly. I'm glad you're there. Those that are subscribers, thank you for doing that. This week, we're going to talk about a very important topic. The more I see stories like the Oscars, you know, someone getting slapped in the face being the number one story worldwide when wars are going on, famines, crises at every level, it just reminded me of something important. It's always about the agenda. We can never lose sight of the agenda. And that's what we're going to talk about today. They are trying to distract us, to overwhelm us, to just get us where we give up, because they're giving us so much news each day. They give us enough news each day that if we took the time to digest it, it would take the rest of our life. That's how much we're getting each day. And it's purposeful. It's to overwhelm. So you're like, oh, I just can't figure it out. Well, I figured out something in my last 50 years of life. It's always about the agenda. Even that part of it, the distraction and the overwhelming nature of news today. But we're going to talk about that. But thank you again for joining me. As we get into this, I want to remind you of some of the agenda items. It's important to remember so you know what you're looking for in all the different events and things that are going on, because they all have a purpose in this, all of them. Again, every now and then something randomly happens, but they'll take advantage of that as well. But it's so purposeful. I think that's one of the main things I've noticed over my life. That's what drove me to make the agenda films. I saw, wait a minute, everything is so purposeful. It's always marching the same direction. It always has the same narrative. It doesn't matter if Reagan's in the White House or Bill Clinton's in the White House. Everything else is still marching a specific direction for a specific purpose. And I found out, oh, it's an agenda to grind America down. Well, nothing has changed. 8 predictions for 2030. I know you know about that from the World Economic Forum. I want to remind you of a few of those, because these are the agenda items by 2030. They finally put a time frame to it. They've always said, we'd like to accomplish these goals. But now they've kind of put a time frame out there of 2030, I think, to help motivate all of them to work even more in earnest about these goals. But goal number one, you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, that sounds ridiculous and utopian and whatever, but here's some key things about that. You know, why each year are we just going into debt deeper and deeper and deeper? Well, it's for that. That's part of the reason we're doing that. When you spend trillions of more dollars each year than you take in, no one would do that consciously or out of ignorance. If you're doing that, it's purposeful, because everyone knows you can't keep doing that. You're going to collapse at some point if you keep doing that. Just like an individual, if I just kept getting more credit cards to pay the minimum payment on my current credit cards, everyone would tell you, don't do that. That's not going to work out. But we keep doing that. Inflation. Well, having the debt helps with inflation because they have to print more money to pay the budget, to pay for all the things our government is doing it can't afford to do. So it makes the dollars worth less and less and less. You'll own nothing and be happy. More taxes. Then they talk about in the midst of the economic chaos and on the verge of recession, we got to raise taxes. And so the few that are being productive, no, they have to pay more. And so you penalize them. And we know from anything in life, when you penalize something, you get less of it. And when you reward something, you get more of it. Just a basic fundamental level. But they're defining those things. But I'm telling you, it's not out of ignorance. It's for a very specific purpose, the agenda. Lockdowns. In world history, there's never been lockdowns of businesses for any reason, but specifically a pandemic. Well, that was to impoverish. Just think of the hundreds of thousands of people today in America that just 2 years ago had their own business, were self-employed, were doing their own thing and building something up for their children and grandchildren, and today they lost it all. just over the last 2 years, hundreds of thousands of businesses. I think it's over 300,000 just restaurants. That doesn't count all the other ones that couldn't pay the rents, so they had to close their doors. Number two is so significant because it's so honest. I'm shocked even the World Economic Forum would have it. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. Okay, I know you know that one too, but all those things I just mentioned are all part of that. We're not going to be the world's leading superpower if we're buried in debt, our money becomes worthless, and we keep putting out of business those that are trying to be productive and taxing those who are trying to be productive. You're not going to be. Well, they don't want us to be the elites of the world. Goal number four, you'll eat much less meat. Poor people hardly eat any meat at all, ever, because they cannot afford to. And so, again, all these other circumstances are making that goal come to pass because as the prices of feed go up for the farmers, the price of beef and chicken, everything, are going to keep skyrocketing, where all of a sudden you realize, I can't pay, you know, $50 for a steak. That's a luxury I can't afford. And so they're going to bring that to pass again by creating the circumstances that make it not possible for you to do it. That's a way they accomplish a lot of their goals. They set up the parameters where you no longer have the choice because of actions they've taken to make it impossible for you. Goal number five. 1 billion people will be displaced, they say, because of climate change, which no one will be displaced because of climate change. But they wanted that idea. They want to move 1 billion people around the globe to different countries. Why? Because when you bring people in that aren't part of your culture, your language, your customs, your traditions, your love of country, it breaks down the idea that I'm proud to be an American, or I'm proud to be a Ukrainian, or I love Romania, or I'm you know, glad that I'm from Australia, or whatever. They don't want you to have any allegiance to where you are at all. And so they're going to displace people saying, oh, it's climate change, or it's the war in Ukraine, or it's all these other issues or problems we've created, because they want to move people around, especially into America. And we'll get more into that in a minute, some of the things going on with that. Number six, polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is plant food, to remind you. It's fertilizer for everything that is green. We can't ever forget that. Again, they set up a narrative that's always a lie. It's always the opposite of the truth because they're trying to brainwash. But what does that really mean? It means we're going to make those who are productive have to pay. People that are productive are producing carbon dioxide when they drive their car to go sell things or build things or make things or whatever, when they are, you know, using electricity, when they're being productive, you're creating carbon dioxide. That's why that's the enemy. It's not because it hurts what's green, because it doesn't. It helps what's green. But that's, so when you see that, oh, they're penalizing more and more productivity. They don't want anyone to be productive. They want us to be servants of the state. And then if you go to goal number eight, Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. And we've talked about that before, but Western values are simply Christian morality. That means there'll be no more morality. No one will tell them what to do. I mean, it's unbelievable how so many of the elite, the Bill Gates, the Clintons, and so many more, are into Jeffrey Epstein-type sinful, vile acts. I mean, if we had a list of all the people that actually went there to visit him, I think we'd be shocked. The leaders of the world in general are into abusing children, abusing women, and they don't want to feel bad about that. And so Western values will have to be erased so we can do what we want to do and no one will condemn us for doing that. We won't have to go hide on some secret island. And so that's some of the fundamental ones. They have the eight predictions. Two of the predictions are just pie in the sky. Oh, we might be going to Mars. in organ transplants, people won't have to wait for those anymore. We'll just print them out on a computer. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So they threw in two things that make you feel good about, oh, we're advancing forward. We're not. We're regressing to the past of servants and masters, and that's where they want to take us. Now, something that's very shocking about a lot of those things I just talked about is the surveys among young people show they've done a really good job already of brainwashing them. A lot of millennials 35 and under today go, they say they don't want to own their own home. They just want to rent. They don't want the responsibility of that. And a lot of them are not getting their driver's license. They say, oh, I don't want to have a car. It hurts the environment. So they're getting bikes or just using public transportation. So they've already kind of been brainwashed into the idea of you'll own nothing and be happy. And it's shocking. They don't have the motivation and the ambition to go, oh, I'd love to have my own little house one day. I remember when I got married, that was something you really looked forward to. Wouldn't that be neat to have your own little house and you can plant flowers and trees and just paint it the way you want and take care of it and have a place to be that's your own? Well, they're trying to root that out of people. Another key area to talk about, whenever you're talking about the agenda, especially for America, is the 45 current communist goals from 1958. Now, a lot of those are talked about the morality, about them getting control of the media and education and the church, which are very important, destroying the family. But a lot of these goals don't get talked about very much. I'm going to just read a few of them because they relate to what's going on right now, things that they have already accomplished or working to accomplish that we've kind of ignored because they're not as provocative in just reading of them. Goal number one, this is from 1958 America. U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. What does that mean? We would just to agree to coexist with other communist nations so there won't be an atomic war. Do you realize the only reason there's a threat of atomic war today is because of that nonsense? When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, if we just said, okay, you've collapsed, we're going to have a trial to, you know, have the consequences beyond all those that have committed atrocities against the Russian people, and we're going to disarm you. If you're collapsing, we're not going to prop you back up, but let you keep all your nuclear weapons. And then if we would not have propped China up, China just in the 1970s and 80s was a third world country that couldn't even feed itself. And we, the Rockefellers, the American State Department, put a communist dictator in place there in the 50s and then have been propping them up ever since, allowing them to steal our technology to make these high-tech weapons and things. We've created that. Iran, the Shah was a great friend of the West. Jimmy Carter kicked him out of there and turned it into a radical Islamic state. It was the most pro-American, stable country in the entire Middle East. Iran, we created that. Okay? North Korea, we created that. General MacArthur took over Korea from the communists and said, I can go right now into China and free those people too. And Truman said, no. And by the way, we have to give back all this property to the communists. All these threats in the world are there because America put them there, because the elites, the globalists, had an agenda. They needed an enemy so they would have this military-industrial complex they could make so much money off of, but so they could create war whenever they needed to because there's so many enemies out there, and so they could move the chess pieces on the board whenever they wanted to, or cause us as Americans to be sidetracked because our boys are dying in Vietnam. So we're not watching all the other nonsense they're doing and taking us off the gold standard so our money has no value and all these other things. Oh, we're worrying about our boys, which we should be, but our boys should never have been there because they weren't there to free Vietnam. They were there to sidetrack us from what they were doing to accomplish their agenda. Goal number four, permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation. Do you realize we didn't used to trade at all with communist nations? Why? Because they were not treating their people the way they should be treated. We would never reward a country that's hurting and impoverishing and enslaving and abusing their own people. We would never have, oh, we're going to fund them to keep doing that? No, we cared about human rights. We cared about life. Well, that's long since been accomplished. Number six, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. So even if a country is being dominated by the communists, we still give them millions of dollars a year, which is what we've done all over Africa and all over the world, propped up the communist dictatorships with our foreign aid, and they used that money to enslave the people even more. We've been doing that for decades and decades. Number seven, grant recognition of Red China to the United Nations. We all go, they weren't always a member of the United Nations. No! All this is new, but it was part of an agenda to rearrange the pieces on the board. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. That's totally what they're doing today. That's totally what America does. George Bush Sr. in 1991, in his famous New World Order speech, we need to build a world where the United Nations will be able to fulfill the vision of its founders. Its founder was Alger Hiss, who was a Soviet spy in the FDR administration. He's the one that started the United Nations.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. One of them has been completely captured decades ago, and one of them, the establishment, has been captured decades ago, but not all the individual players. Number 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions. This is what's been going on the last 50 years. But they told us, hey, this is what we're going to do. That's why I always want to remind you of the agenda, because they are checking off the list. So when the World Economic Forum gives us these goals, that's what they're working toward. So then you have to see the Ukraine war as part of this plan. What is it doing to accomplish this? You have to see, oh, they're spending money like drunken sailors in Washington, D.C. Oh, it's part of this. How does this fit into this? What is it accomplishing in their goals? Because everything is about their goals, and we can't forget that. And then a few more of these just to show you how this is today. This is the battle we're in. Goal number 30. From 1958, discredit the American founding fathers. That one, of course, is just full steam ahead today. Goal number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Our enemies have an agenda. But it's shocking when you see it, but we need to be constantly reminded of it so we can not be distracted and overwhelmed by all the news, but look for the pieces that are relevant and the things we need to stand against as they're slowly putting together their new world order. Goal number 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture. That's why they're for anything that is growing government, because the bigger government is, the smaller each individual man is, and is limited in his ability to stand against it. Number 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. We have seen that like nothing else over the last 10 years. We're now every big business, you know, Nike and Coca-Cola and Disney World, they're all radical leftists, woke, doing everything in their power to enslave the American people, to control the American people, to set up a surveillance state with the ESG scores, and we'll talk more about that in a coming episode and things like that. But that's, I mean, that one is, but this is, again, 60 years ago. infiltrate and gain control of big business. Why would they want to do that? Because big business has a lot of money and a lot of influence. Anything that has money and influence, they are there, and they are working their way up to control it, and that's what they've done. And the last one I'm going to bring up is goal number 41. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. All the parents that have been standing up over the last couple years here and saying, what are you trying to teach our children? And, you know, DeSantis in Florida just passing a bill saying you cannot sexualize our 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. You can't do that. And getting pushback. Disney said, how dare you tell us we can't do that? Trying to confuse and pervert and destroy our own children. Well, when you see that going on, again, you realize it's not ignorance. It's, oh, those people are taking our children from us to use them and destroy them so that we won't be able to pass down to the next generation our love of righteousness and truth and freedom and the principles that made America great. There'll be no one to pass it to because they've all been destroyed in the process. So that review is just, this has all been in the making for decades. Those that have just awakened in the last 10 years or however long, it's decades in the making. And that's why it's always been going the wrong direction my entire life. And 2030 is a significant year, and they need at some point to have a worldwide economic crash to really be able to then finish the last few steps to victory. And so knowing that's going to happen, you can see them setting that up. Because if everyone's in poverty because money's not worth anything worldwide, then you will accept anything coming down the road that says, here, if you sign up for this or do this, we'll give you a universal basic income and universal health care and a place to stay. And everyone will be, okay, you know, I didn't want to be a slave of the state, but I'm desperate. I guess one of the main reasons I went through a lot of those goals and things is to remind you again that we're in a battle. But also the sobering reality, we're never going back. We're never going back to Leave It to Beaver, ever. It's not going to happen. By 2030, even if we are successful in stopping them from accomplishing all of these goals, the world is going to be a completely different place. Completely different. And so we need to know that, and we need to be preparing for that. And we'll talk more in another episode specifically on how do we prepare for all these different areas that are going to be changing no matter what. And then as we continue to stand against the areas they want to change, but it hasn't happened yet. I was looking recently at an article. It was talking about the World Economic Forum and their Young Global Leaders program. He had a list of just some of the main people that have gone through that program. Not all of them, but just here's a handful that have gone through the Young Global Leaders program at the World Economic Forum. And this isn't some little one-day program. It's a five-year program. But listen to some of the names of people that have been through it since 1992 and think of their influence in the world, and it makes you realize, oh, why is everyone saying, let's build back better, and all these slogans from the World Economic Forum? Well, because they've been influenced tremendously by these people, and they've all been indoctrinated with these goals of, here's what we want to accomplish by 2030. But here's some. Angela Merkel, Tony Blair, Nicolas Sarkozy, Bill Gates, Bono, the rock star, Richard Branson, who owns Virgin Records, Jorma Olila, Shell Oil, Jose Manuel Barroso, he was president of the European Commission for 10 years. And then it just goes on and on. All these different princes and princesses and prime ministers from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, New Zealand, Belgium, France, Finland, Costa Rica, Maldives, Germany, Malawi, Bhutan, Argentina, Pakistan, Rwanda, South Africa, Israel, Angola, Leonardo DiCaprio, the radical activist actor, and then a lot of different world leaders in business. Jack Ma of Alibaba, he's the founder of it. Larry Page, the founder of Google. Jimmy Whale, the founder of Wikipedia. Nicholas Zennstrom, founder of Skype. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. And on it goes. That's just some of the ones here that have been through this five-year program on young global leadership when they were young to get a vision. Of course, also I forgot to mention, you know, Vladimir Putin. He's one of the young global leaders. Well, that's why everything is so consistent worldwide. When you have leaders from all these countries and people high up in cabinets of all these countries, and of course, Justin Trudeau, he wasn't even on that list, but he's another one. You realize they're earnest about their agenda. They're influencing young people with their agenda. And then as the young people grow up, they go out and work toward this vision of a utopia by 2030. And that's why, again, just you parents reminding you, you have to instill a vision in your children to be part of the solution to the problem, to stand for freedom, to stand for truth, to oppose these evil people that want to abuse people, that have no value on human life. That is the most valuable thing you can do for yourself, for your country, and for God. He loves when we have influenced the next generation to stand for Him and His truth. So a lot of the different agenda items are to accomplish things we know they have already said they want to accomplish. And a lot of the things going on today in the world, like a universal basic income, that's one of their key agenda items. So we know, okay, you got to have economic problems, inflation, things like that, where people need something, or another pandemic, you need that. They want a digital ID and passport for everyone on the planet so they know who they're trying to control. A digital currency, of course, as soon as possible, where there's no more paper money, so you cannot run and hide, you cannot buy and sell unless they give you permission to in their system. Universal health, of course, they want control of healthcare because then you decide who gets treatment and who doesn't. It's total control. They want that operated through the World Health Organization, where they are in total control of world health. No doctor can independently help you without their permission. They want total control. And then, of course, they want to continue to shoot for what China has done and create a total surveillance, censorship, and control system. And of course, all those things I just talked about help with that. If you have a digital ID and digital currency, then they know exactly where you are, what you're buying, what you're selling, where you're going, where you eat, what you're spending your money on. They know all that. So those are all key things that are fitting into this. And possible roads to take America down. Remember, they love crisis. Yeah, can they provoke a World War III? Can Biden continue to say just idiotic things like we need to remove Putin from power? That's just going to provoke someone that has 6,000 nuclear weapons to at some point, if he feels threatened, okay, I'm going to use them. Well, I feel like that's probably what they're shooting for if necessary. China and Russia, they are seeing from our actions how weak and pathetic we are. Everything that's going on, we have to remember, is part of escalating these problems. It's not to de-escalate. It's not to solve problems ever. It's never about solving problems. It's about acting like you're solving a problem by having the solution to a problem make the problem worse. I talked about that in Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. That's a key fundamental strategy they've always used. Well, if we have a trouble in education, yes, and we need a new bill to help out education, but that bill will be crafted in such a way to make sure education gets worse. They always want to make the problem worse. Why? So there needs to be a bigger solution to the problem that has more funding and more control, because this is a serious problem. Education is not going well, and everybody cares about education or whatever the issue may be. That's what they've been doing. Taiwan. I think they would love if China attacked Taiwan, maybe stirred up a war on that front as well. Taiwan, of course, is where all the semiconductors come from. Right now, Ford is selling cars. I just heard about this week that don't have the microchips in them they need, so none of the electronics works. It still drives, but none of your features work. But they're having to do it that way because of the backlog of ships coming in and the clog of everything that the Biden administration has created has caused we're behind in things. We can't even produce products anymore. The sanctions, of course, they're hurting America. They're hurting the Russian people and other people throughout the world way more than anybody else. And they're going to hurt the people of Africa tremendously, this war more than anybody. They are so dependent on the wheat and food from Ukraine. There's going to be millions of people in Africa starving to death over the next 12, 15 months because Biden didn't tell Putin, we will never allow Ukraine to be part of NATO, and we understand you would not want our weapons right on your border. And that would have caused peace to prevail, and none of this would have happened. Why have we cut our energy independence? Because it makes gas prices go up. They don't like that right now because there's an election this year. But they normally love that because their goal is by 2030, there's no gas. So again, once you see their goal, you realize, okay, they're not wanting us to be energy independent. They don't want energy to be cheap. Why? Because that frees people. It enriches people. It helps them, allows them to be more productive and more, and they don't want that. And that's why you, again, when you see their talk, you have to separate their talk from their actions. And so they want shortages. They want gas to be $20 a gallon. So you're forced to use public transportation. So you're forced to close your business. So you have to beg them for some kind of relief so they can spend more money to put us in more debt, to cause the collapse to come sooner than later. All the actions they're taking, of course, is going to encourage the dollar to be removed as the reserve world currency. And that's the thing that's kept our dollar having some value because people needed our dollars. If the Chinese were buying oil from Saudi Arabia, they needed to turn their money in for U.S. dollars to buy the oil. And so it kept their demand. There would be no demand for our money if this was if it was to be taken off as the world reserve currency. And I think from reading, studying, understanding them, they're going to do that at the right time. They're going to allow that to happen right when that digital dollar is ready, possibly, so they can just do away with the old dollar, the paper dollars, and introduce a brand new dollar since the other one is collapsing, and then get everyone to buy into it because, oh, we're thankful we have something. And that's probably what they're doing. The Ukrainian bioweapons labs and all that stuff. If chemical or biological weapons are released there, it's my opinion it would be America doing that, not Putin, not the Ukrainians. Our State Department, our Department of Justice, our intelligence community is the most ruthless and evil of any government in the world. And the history bears that out. Food shortages coming. They would love if there's huge food shortages. Why? Because poverty creates dependence. And starvation is their number one goal. Their first commandment and their 10 commandments for the 21st century is cut the world's population to below 500 million. That means 7 billion people have got to go. You can't ever forget that. That's why when there's pandemics, oh, all these millions died, or there's famines, or there's whatever, when there's plenty of food in the world, and there's plenty of everything, and there's plenty of energy, and there's plenty of everything we need to have everyone live happy and healthy lives, the reason that's not happening is because people don't want so many people to control. And so just know that. Wars are not created by those that would be the ones dying. They're created by those who wouldn't be dying. The dictators, the leaders, the elites, they're the ones that love war. A cyber attack, they keep warning about that just in the last couple weeks, which makes me go, okay, they're probably getting ready to cyber attack something themselves. It will be our intelligence community. They're the most capable in the area of cyber attacks and understanding that of anyone. They'll blame it on Putin like they always do, or on China or whatever, but I don't buy that for a minute. The border crisis, that's escalating right now as they're talking about getting rid of Title 42 expulsions. Those that are on the border and paying attention are saying the amount of border crossings could easily go above 300,000 a month for this year. Over 300,000. Last year, over 2 million people came into America illegally and are just in our country now, getting COVID checks, and their children in our schools, and they go to the hospital and they have to be treated in America, even if they can't pay, and they're just burdening and bankrupting our system, and it's purposeful. But it's about ready to explode to a whole new level because of that. Now, one last thing I want to talk about before I wrap up. This is important because I just want to warn you about this. I don't know if it'll pass right now or not, but back in 1914, right after the Federal Reserve had been created, they wanted more of a funding source, so they passed the income tax bill. And so it was a bill where, hey, there's going to be income tax only on the super rich, and it's only going to be 1% tax. Just a 1% tax for a short period of time on the super rich. And since most people weren't the super rich, they go, okay, sounds reasonable, whatever. Maybe I'll benefit from it. 1% on the super rich. Look at the tax structure today. Super rich don't pay anything because they have all their money hidden in tax-exempt foundations and things like that. And the average working person, they say on average, is between 40 and 50% of their income goes to all the different taxes that they have to pay each year. Well, here's the new one coming. It's only on the super rich, though. And it's only 20% at maximum. So they're not starting at 1% this time. They're starting at 20%. Here it is. And they're proposing this. It is where if you're wealthy, you have a minimum tax of 20%. But it's not on your income. It's on your unrealized capital gains. What that means is this. If you had a home that you bought for $100,000 20 years ago, and today it's worth $400,000 would be the estimate. Even though you're still living it, you didn't sell it yet. But it's gone up from the government's point of view. It's gone up $300,000 in value. You need to pay taxes on that. So you're not just having to pay tax on something when you sell it. You have to pay tax on it when they say it's worth more than what you paid for it. So unrealized capital gains tax. Okay? So then all of a sudden you'd have a tax on, oh, well, yeah, you made $300,000 this year on your home. We're like, no, I didn't make anything on it. I still live in it. I didn't sell it. Yeah, but it's worth $300,000 more than what you paid for it. So here's a bill for $60,000 you have to pay this year for your unrealized capital gains tax. So, of course, most people couldn't pay it. Or if their business went up in value, even though that's nothing tangible, it's like, unless I sell my business, it's not worth anything. Oh, no, but it's worth a lot more. You're doing a lot better. So you need to pay us this tax. So you would have to sell your home to pay the tax. And what was the goal? You'll own nothing and be happy. It's all part of that. I'm telling you, it'll start with the super rich. Maybe they don't pass it this year. It's next year. And it will get through there because all of us will go, well, it's the super rich. I'm not the super rich. It never stays with the super rich, and it'll probably do nothing for the super rich as it is because they know how to hide. They know how to move their money out of this country. If you're going to sock it to them in this country, France did this. From 2000 to 2012, the country of France did this exact thing. We're going to make the rich pay taxes on unrealized capital gains. If things they own went up in value, if they have a piece of artwork in their home and it used to be worth $100,000, now it's worth $1 million, they got to pay taxes on $900,000 this year, even though they didn't sell it. What happened? During those 12 years, 42,000 millionaires moved out of France. All the money leaves. They're like, we're not putting up with that. So all you do is have all the super rich it's supposed to penalize, zoop, out of your country. They'll go to a country that says, no, you don't have to do that. And so they're out. And so all that wealth leaves. So you're much poorer as a country. And France stopped it then in 2012. They realized, whoa, everybody's leaving. Okay, and we'll stop it. And they were smart enough to stop it. Well, we're just starting. We always start the things that have failed elsewhere in America, which is purposeful. It's not ignorance. Anyone studying this would go, this doesn't work. Even if you didn't know the example from France, you would go, you don't want to do that. Because you're going to get people that have the money that create the jobs and start the businesses and are doing most of the moving and shaking that's going on. If you get them to go elsewhere, you're all going to be poor because of it, especially those who are at the bottom of the stack. So it's all strategic to accomplish the goal of getting rid of private property. Venezuela, you know where they are today. Do you realize just a few decades ago, they had the fifth biggest economy in the world? I didn't realize that. I was studying this week. Fifth? I knew they were very prosperous before socialism and all these type of programs came in there, and now they're just utter poverty. They were the fifth biggest economy in the world, one of the richest countries in the world, and now devastation because of policies like this. So as we understand how purposeful and how powerful the enemy is and what they're trying to do to grind us down, we need to not get overwhelmed by that. We need to be prepared. We need to be doing the things God would want us to do. But things, I was thinking this week, you know, things seem more uncertain now than ever. But I don't know if that's really true because life in itself is always uncertain. You don't know what day you're going to die, and I don't either. You don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't either. And maybe even if everything's going great in America, one of us is set for a catastrophe tomorrow. A child dies. We're in a car wreck. Somebody gets cancer. So life is always uncertain, and we can't just make it happen on our own, and we can't just be prepared for everything. We can do the best we can, but my pastor was talking about John 15 this week, and I just want to read you a little bit of this. Listen to this is the key to be able to be consistent regardless of how what's going on in the world and how things look. But it says this in John 15, I am the true vine. It's Jesus talking. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We're here to be productive. We're here to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what we're here for, to show those qualities, because they're supernatural, to be able to show those when the world's falling apart around us. You have to be born again to be able to have that. And then it goes on, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We need to be trusting in Jesus, not just for our salvation. Oh, when I die one day, he's going to take care of me and I'm going to heaven. It's for today. It's for, you know, when the communists are marching through our institutions and doing all this stuff. It's right now is the time to trust, to abide, and realize he's got it all figured out. He knows what these vile wretches are doing better than we do. But he has a plan for us being alive to stand against their evil plans. And then the last verse of this is going to be our memory verse for this week. John 15:5, and here it is. Listen carefully. We have to remember this because otherwise this is overwhelming. Not just all the stuff going on, but the reality of I'm not in control. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I know who does, and I know I can trust in him, and you need to be able to do that too if you're born again. Listen, here it is, John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Everything God allows you to do is from him. You can do nothing on your own. I can do nothing on my own. It's all Jesus Christ. He is the only one that empowers us to supernaturally live in such a way, regardless of the circumstances, to be a light that is so bright and to be the salt that is preserves and protects the innocence and stands with courage against evil, no matter, regardless of the cost. He can have us do that. But without me, ye can do nothing. We need to remember that. And we need to, again, just be grateful that we are the group that does understand the times. We are the group that God has orchestrated the circumstances where we are plugged into things that are not just, you know, parroting the narrative of the world. It's saying, no, 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 be careful. Watch out. Here's the truth. Here's what they're doing. Here's what they're saying, but that is not consistent with their actions. And so we should be grateful for that. So many people are lost, confused, wandering in the desert. We're not, and we should be grateful. I'm grateful for you. I appreciate you. Hope you have a good week. And until next week, God bless you.